Suzanne Mazur is a doctor in Seattle, but she was born a New Yorker. Her mother played in the New York Philharmonic. Her dad was a musician, too, and they all lived together in Manhattan. Her parents divorced when Suzanne was a toddler and her sister just a baby.
You know, the rumor in our family was that my mom said, I want full custody of the kids and you can have all the other stuff. So the rumor was he took the cool apartment on the Upper East Side or wherever, Upper West Side, wherever we lived, and she got us.
The three of them moved across the country to Peoria, Illinois, to live with her grandparents. And that was the end of Suzanne's relationship with her dad. Even when she'd visit New York, there was no expectation that she'd see him. But Suzanne does remember her mother nudging her to visit someone else.
Hey, while you're there, you should look up your OB that delivered you. He'd really, really want to meet you. His office on Park Avenue, blah, 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 blah. This is his name. This is his phone number. Can you go meet him? He'd really like to meet you. And I was like, okay, yeah, Mom, sure, I'll do that. And then I never did that.
This was just one of those things that your mom said, something that teenage Suzanne was totally comfortable ignoring. It wasn't until decades later that her mother said something else that made it all make sense.
It was a few years before my mom died. So she had ovarian cancer. She was pretty sick. And we hadn't really, I mean, this hadn't come up because who would ask their parent like how they were conceived? We assumed our dad was our dad. But she just said, you and your sister were both conceived by donor sperm. And we were like, well, how did you get this donor sperm? And she's like, well, I went to the doctor and I said, I really want to get pregnant. And he said, I'll be right back. And he came back with some sperm.
Now, this was the early 60s and a very different time when it comes to both medical ethics and reproductive technology. These days, there are sperm banks with huge donor catalogs searchable by every attribute. But at that time, there was just a conversation. In this case, a conversation between Suzanne's mother and her doctor.
She told me that she remembered asking for somebody Jewish and somebody bright. And so she was like, a Jewish doctor would work, something like that. But for that reason, she always thought it was him.
That's right. Suzanne's mother believed that her OB, the doctor who delivers the baby, was also the man who helped her conceive it. But Suzanne's mother never really asked any questions, and she died without knowing for sure. So put yourself in her shoes for a minute. How do you think you'd feel? Shocked? Betrayed? Grossed out? Well, not Suzanne. For her, this was the beginning of a detective story. And for the most part, the revelations along the way haven't been painful. They've been delightful. Today on Sound Effect, our theme is You Can't Choose Your Family. Can you? It's stories of family ties that go beyond blood, but still help define who we are and where we come from. Suzanne Mazur was in her 40s when she found out that she had been conceived using donor sperm. It was the first time she'd ever heard of it. I think a lot of us would be shaken by news like that, even angry. But not Suzanne, who figures that anger really isn't in her nature. Anyway, she'd never had a strong connection to the man she thought was her father, so it didn't feel like she was losing something. If anything, it had opened up a world of possibility. She decided to do a little digging, and she began to learn what it was like for someone like her mom, a woman struggling to conceive in the 1960s.
So first step was I tried to contact the OB who was responsible for the insemination, who is the person who my mom always thought was my donor. And he unfortunately had died. So the next step was I looked at my birth certificate and I found the doctor who delivered me. I was born over Christmas break, so my original OB didn't deliver me. I'm assuming maybe he was on vacation, so I got this other guy. So I found him and emailed him, and he actually wrote me back. We talked on the phone. He's in his 90s, retired, living in Florida. He told me as much as he could remember. So it sounds to me like New York City, there were a few centers where people would go with, quote, infertility. And in those places, the resident doctors could volunteer and get paid to bring a fresh sperm sample to an office on the day when an insemination was to occur. And it sounds like the resident doctors were paid about $35 a week to work, and they'd be paid $50 a sperm sample. So it was like a really good moonlighting opportunity, which definitely would not be available in 2019, where there were some residents who really could make a lot of money this way if they chose to. There's a community of donor kids now, and I've talked to some of the women in that community, and some of them have found multiple half-siblings through this process because their donor was one of the residents who, you know, had a lot of desire for some extra money or whatever it was. So I realized that it would be really interesting and fun and just expand my world or refill my family to see if I have some half-siblings. So from there, I just sent in my spit to Ancestry.com and 23andMe, and it didn't really match me to anyone in particular, very closely, anyone that I didn't know. So your information just sits in their database forever, and I would get yearly, you know, emails from them, and I kind of forgot my password, stop checking it, all the things that you do, didn't renew my fee. And then probably was a year ago now, I happened to sign in and look at it, and there was somebody who matched very closely to me, and it was like either an aunt, a grandma, or a half-sibling. So I emailed her, and her name is Arlene.
My name is Arlene Hajinlian, which is the name I've had since I'm a baby.
And she had no idea what I was talking about.
Probably about 3 years ago, in fall of 2016, just out of complete curiosity, I did 23andMe. And I remember when it came back that I was 50% Ashkenazi Jewish. And I thought, oh, that's really weird. I'm like, I basically thought about it for 5 minutes. I kind of looked at the other information there and put it aside and really didn't think about it much at all. A year and a half went by, and I got an email saying there was a message for me on 23andMe, and it was a short note from Suzanne, and now I could see when I logged on there to see her message that she, 23andMe is saying that we're 25% sharing the same DNA, and I could potentially be her grandmother or her aunt.
I'm like, hey, listen, it seems like somehow we're related. What's your family like? She's like, oh, I had a mom and a dad.
I was born in 1953, and my sister was born in 1950, so it was two girls, Carol and I. And
we're 100% Armenian.
My parents were immigrants from Turkey, but we're Armenian, and we grew up, I grew up in a very sort of Armenian household.
And I'm like, oh, interesting, because in 23andMe, we match. And she's like, yeah, it's really weird, because it says half of my DNA is Ashkenazi Jew, but I'm Armenian, so that's really weird.
Oh, well, maybe it's not accurate, or maybe Armenians migrated, or I really didn't know what to think about it.
And it turns out that through a bunch of different things, including that she didn't match to her whole father's side of her family in her 23andMe profile, she started to realize that maybe something different happened than she had known her whole life. And both her parents had passed away, so she couldn't ask them what really happened. So she went back to a family gathering over Christmas time last year, and one of her family friends said, yeah, there was always a rumor when you were born that you were conceived by a sperm donor.
The cousin said, you know, I heard this story 30 years ago and I thought it was gossip, but it's fitting the story.
And she's like, ah, I think we might have something here.
Little by little, little pieces of information came to me till I finally realized, you know what? I'm a sperm donor baby too. It took me such a long time, not because I was denial or upset. I was like, I never suspected.
We met in April. We met up. I was in New York with my family on spring break, and we met up.
I was just so excited. I was so happy to meet her. I met her with her husband and her two boys at a Japanese sushi restaurant nearby.
We walked into a restaurant, and she was sitting there doing a New York Times crossword puzzle, which is a thing that I do all the time. And she got really excited. She stood up and started talking with her hands and spilled her water. And I was like, yeah, we're related, definitely.
I was so excited to meet her. I guess I wasn't recording that particular thing. But, I mean, I did feel very simpatico with her right away. And her kids were like, yeah, you guys are sisters. You both talk too fast. You both talk too loud. You know, we kind of have this way of joy of life. And I thought it was just fantastic. I just thought it was so cool.
So then she had been bitten by this research bug. And so she started contacting, on 23andMe, you can see which family members you have in common with someone. So she started contacting all the people who she and I had in common. And one day she threw lots and lots of research that I don't even understand, met somebody who was really, really into doing these family trees, and somehow connected the dots between her and me and that OB's original family. And we also figured out that that OB was a med student at the time when Arlene was conceived, at the place where she was conceived. So we're pretty sure, we're pretty confident now that we are related to him.
You're a physician, and you, I'm sure, have thought a lot about, you know, the ethics of all kinds of things that happen in healthcare settings. Do you think that what this doctor did, given the time and context, was ethically problematic?
That's a great question. I've thought a lot about that. I think it's hard to put yourself back in that time. I know a little bit about medicine in those days. For example, in the neonatal intensive care unit back in the early 70s, if a baby was really sick and needed a blood transfusion, the residents would just know whose blood type matched that baby, draw the blood out of the resident, and put it in the baby. And that was like a practice that happened all over the country back in those days. So it's hard. It's so hard to picture that because I literally have to go through a three-step process to get a Band-Aid now at my current job. But I think if you're looking through the lens of what people would do today and applying it to what people would do in 1969, that's really, really hard to do. And so that's a little bit unfair. So if you're thinking like, how could they do this crime? You know, at the time, it was just so much different. I mean, you can't put yourself back there. And then I guess trying to find the positive in it, like you're meeting these new people who you may not have met before. And there's always something, there's often something that's good that can come out of that.
Suzanne Mazur is a doctor in Seattle. That story was produced by Sound Effects' Posey Gruner.